Morning, folks. How you going? I say morning because for me it is morning, but you could be listening to this any time, so it may not be morning. This is our Daughter Talks. You're listening to Daughter Talks with Adam Jacobs. That's right. And by the suggestion that the title gives you, makes you suspect possibly that I've recently become a father. Well, she's 4 months old. Aoife Daisy Jacobs, 4 months. Oh, round of applause for Aoife. She's got to the 4 month milestone. It's a milestone. That's what they say, milestone. And I've mentioned this before. Literally, she's passed the stone on the road that tells her that she's 4 months old, because that's what a milestone is. Well, you got 1 mile to go before you get to the next milestone. Okay. And as people who have been the faithful listeners to this podcast will know, that I'm preparing myself for the big conversations, or the confronting, powerful conversations that I will have to have with my darling little Aoife when she's old enough. Of course, she's a bit young right now, but I have covered a couple of essential topics, like how to identify psychopaths and how to follow your dreams without getting lost down the rabbit hole, which isn't as easy as it sounds, depending on the rabbit and the hole, of course. Also, I probably have indirectly discussed things like how to not put your pigeon in a hole, just still talking about holes still. Your pigeon has to go in a hole because a pigeon needs somewhere to call home. But you don't let other people put your pigeon in their hole, so to speak. All right. Today's topic is about how to keep your chin up, how to avoid the doldrums, how to get away from the sadnesses. That's not easy. It's not easy, I should say, in the first instance, to avoid getting a bit sad. You can't avoid it. I wouldn't avoid it or have that attitude necessarily, because sadness is good. Sadness tells you that you'll have a balanced perspective on things, and that you understand the importance of processing emotions, and that when things happen, sometimes they have an effect on you that causes a kind of a different kind of processing to take place. And that sort of revision of life's experiences is really important. And it needs stillness sometimes. And if you think about it, a lot of the time stillness, sadness is about being still. That's what people call it with depression. They can't get out of bed and they feel unmotivated. Because something about the brain and what it's dealing with in terms of the actual raw data, the brain needs stillness. But Aoife might come to me and say, but how do I get over the stillness? How do I go from stillness to movement again? Well, it's not easy. It's not easy. First things first, you have to have something in your life that you enjoy. And you have to pursue that thing you do. Now, it doesn't mean that it's your career or anything. That's a separate issue altogether. But something that excites your talents, excites what you are interested in, connects with something that you're able to do in terms of your predispositions, in terms of your talents, as I've said, and something that you can, that's repeatable, something that's got a sense of needing some training. All right, that's the first thing. That thing that you do, because really, a key component to any kind of disruption that sadness might be, or depression might be, and of course I'm not talking necessarily about chronic depression, people need medical intervention, I'm talking about this has been a bit down. One key component of success, say, as it appears to me, is the program, is the training, is the discipline. Something in your life has to have a sense of routine. And it's a really powerful thing, and it sounds like, hey man, don't mess with my sense of freedom. I want to blow in the breeze like a feather. Well, you know what? A feather will sink slowly, as they say. I suppose a feather sinks, isn't it? It floats to the ground. Eventually, a feather, doesn't it? It gets caught on the wind, and then it gets stuck in a branch, and then it gets picked up by another bird, and then it gets stuffed into a nest, and then it becomes somewhere that little baby birds crap on. That doesn't sound much good, does it? So don't, I think it's better, personally, if you're a feather, that you stay stuck on the bird. If you say stay stuck on a bird, that's not easy to say. If you stay stuck on a bird, then you have freedom. You are flying on the breeze. And you have freedom within the still relative to what your responsibility is within the group. And we call it society. And everyone has their little bit of responsibility. Not just the stuff we do 9 to 5 to earn the money. And if you're in the service industry or some kind, or you're in the health industry, then you can make draw a really straight line between what it is you do 9 to 5 and having responsibility and fulfilling your responsibility to the community. Try and get out of that one two-dimensional way of looking at it. When I say responsibility, you have a responsibility to excite in yourself all your strengths, and in the process expose your weaknesses. And that's sometimes where we fall down. So if you happen to be really good at quilting, then you should be doing that in your life. You should have dedicated time programmed into your schedule that allows you to practice, rehearse, train that ability that you have to make fantastic quilts, which could be full of feathers, remember? Yes, this is it all comes around, doesn't it? I don't know exactly how the feather thing connects to the quilt thing, but I'll leave that to you. You have to become the best quilter you can be. And go and do your 9 to 5 job, whatever it is, receptionist at the hospital, whatever it might be, it doesn't matter. But you still have to be the best quilter you have to be. And sometimes that means, well, I haven't got any time. I don't have any time. Maybe you get up at 5:30 instead of 6 in the morning, and you do half an hour of quilting in the morning, but it's really important. You are value adding. And your quilts may never go on into some display or some sort of exhibition, and I won't go on about this for too long, but you might talk to somebody who says, oh, I really like quilting. I'm thinking about doing quilting. And then you go, well, Sonny, you should mention that because X, Y, and Z. And suddenly you might say the one little thing that makes the understanding that person has about their abilities to change. And then who knows, you could find the cure for some sort of quilting problem in the world. You know what I mean? Together. It's like it says in the scriptures, and it does say it. Look, let's just be honest. It says, don't hide your talents under a bushel. You can't. We need them. We need them, regardless of what they are. There's too many variables to compartmentalize what a set of skills, or assign a set of skills to just a limited focus of ability, like the ability to make a quilt. Well, there's lots of other skills, transferable skills, that are a part of that story. Now I sound like I'm telling you off. I don't mean it. Right. So, have something that you can practice. Routine is very healthy for you in terms of your brain and dealing with feeling a bit down. If you have something that you can practice and you can work through and you can rehearse, then you are exciting in yourself the mechanisms of purpose, the fundamentals of why you are. You know? The only reason why you exist is for some purpose. The biggest problem we have is that we don't always know what that purpose is. But the manifestation of anything is a consequence of feeling there's purpose for it. It just doesn't make sense otherwise. You can't manifest for no reason. Nothing in the universe has ever done that. Ever. Pure redundancy. Creating something that's purely redundant is impossible. It's actually impossible. Even if you think, oh, I'm going to make a rock. Put it in the ground. Make a rock, put it in the ground. Well, you've demonstrated process. You demonstrated some process where you got a whole bunch of sand and you compressed it with some sort of massive machine or weights or something so that it could all be put back together again like a rock. Well, you've demonstrated a process. That process, indirectly or directly or otherwise, will demonstrate, will be of use to somebody. Redundancy is impossible. That's why they say perfect vacuum out of a perfect vacuum. It's just not possible. Anyway, that's a bit scientific. I won't go into it. Have a routine for yourself. Something that you can do every day, regularly. That's a part of what you are interested in at the very least. And hopefully connects to a natural predisposition you have to doing it, whatever it is. Sometimes we are limited by what we're able to do. Keep searching, though, within the field of interest and find a way to exercise some part of yourself towards achieving a goal that's connected to that thing that you like. For some reason, if you lose the ability to talk, making it very hard for you to do stand-up comedy, well, then find platforms where you can write down your comedy or whatever it might be. You know. That's a very simple example, but expand your field of understanding about anything that you're involved in. That's really helpful anyway. All right, so that's the first thing. Have some routine. Well, that's the two things, really. Have some routine and make it a part of something you enjoy. Of course, sometimes people think, oh, I don't want to be rehearsing or practicing. I don't want to be, you know, rote learning my enjoyment. I'm enjoying it. Look. This is one of those things where doing it changes it. If you really like quilting, but it frustrates you that you're really slow at threading the sewing machine, for example, then practice threading the sewing machine for half an hour. I guarantee you, the next time that you sit down to do some quilting, and you're quicker at threading the sewing machine, that you will find that quite liberating. You will find that, not only will it remove frustration, you'll also be impressed with yourself. And it'll be one of those things that you don't feel like you have to let anyone else know about it. It's just helped your process in a way that enables your talent. Unfortunately, it'd be great if our talent was to know all the mundane things associated with an ability, associated with a skill. That's not much of a talent, though, is it? And I'm like, I like quilting, it's okay. But you should see me thread a sewing machine. Oh my gosh. Woo! Quilting, yeah, it's all right. So I don't know, I like it. It's okay. But wow. That's not how we think, do we? We don't think about all the ancillary things being, that's not where we place our talent. A marksman doing those air rifle things in the snow or wherever, you know, he's not missing out on the gold medal and saying to himself, but I can load a gun really well. I can load it really well. Is he? He's saying, you know what? I shouldn't have put so much importance on loading, practicing loading the gun. I shouldn't have put so much importance on loading the gun. I should have been practicing everything. Obviously, there's the core thing that you want to achieve with anything. You've got to practice aiming and shooting. You've got to practice that. That's the main thing you've got to practice. But there's all these other little things that when you know them really well, they make the core thing work perfectly. So when the marksman sits down or lies down or whatever they do, I don't know what they do, you know, loads the gun, it's all second nature. He doesn't have to think about it because he's practiced it so much. He's practiced it. It's all second nature. Just bang, the bullet goes in, and then he's got that extra bit of time to prepare himself for the shot. It's an ancillary little task that he's perfected that it'll buys him time to do, put energies into other things. My point is this. There's always something that you can build into your routine to help you appreciate your strengths better. So there's no end to the type of things that you can practice and rehearse. And I strongly recommend that you find a way to become an expert. So there's a never-ending list of things that you can subscribe to in terms of the tasks that you set yourself so that you become an expert. You become an expert at something, you have no choice but to be proud of yourself. You have no choice. Get some discipline in your life associated with something you enjoy and then become an expert at it. At the very least, you'll have a sense of routine, and that gets you out of the bed, it gets you out of the doldrums, gets you off the couch, it gets you, maybe you turn off the TV, maybe, you know what I mean? Yeah, all right. Now, I should say, because I've just registered my show at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival 2019, it's called Daughter Talks with Adam Jacobs. Daughter Talks with Adam Jacobs. There might be Adam Jacobs Presents Daughter Talks. Well, we'll see how we go. Anyway, it's called Daughter Talks, and it's going to be me explaining how hard it is, I suppose, to prepare a baby for a future that is, we don't know what it is, what it's going to look like. No one knows, especially now more than ever, it seems. Isn't that which is strange? Because it appears as if we have quite a lot of tools at hand that are simply going to make the world good. But it's not making the world good. It's making the world complicated. Anyway. Daughter Talks, Adam Jacobs. Melbourne International Comedy Festival 2019. Thanks for listening. Bye.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.